my journey.
According to Govindadasi, he ate 8 kachoris. And she made more for his journey. Janava Dasi. So Janava was there too. The next day, His Divine Grace was leaving for Montreal, so I was told to make the garland for him. I took too long and made it on thin thread. We were already late, but I made us even later in picking up His Divine Grace to take him to the airport. When we arrived at his apartment, about 1.5 hour from the temple, Harsharani ran out of the apartment and told us that she had never seen him so furious. She warned us that we were, quote, really going to get it for being late. Then Govindadasi came out and confirmed what Harsharani said. Then Kartikeya came out, visibly shaken, followed by His Divine Grace. Instead of garlanding him, Upendra bowed down and with shaking hands held the garland above his bowed head. His Divine Grace simply put on the garland and without a word of remonstration got into the van. You know what remonstration is? Remonstration. Scolding. Scolding. In other words, that was Prabhupada. He could be furious for an instructive moment and then just... He can, as we say, turn on a dime. A dime is a little American coin, you know. So he could just do that. He could just be in one mood for, teaching by example. And then he would just... And then it was gone. Anger, but it was pure anger. It was not with any material malice, you know, like that, or false ego. Where am I? And he just got into the van. Naranarayan, he's a very dramatic devotee. Ha-ha! It's so much fun to be Krishna conscious, Prabhu. Yes, this is Naranarayan. He's a real Shakespearean character. Ah, he has this deep, barrel-chested voice, you know. Ha-ha! He's great. He's an authentic individual. Bilva Mangala didn't know how to drive. This is Naranarayan. Bilva Mangala didn't know how to drive. He was swaying this way and that way. And as we were going toward the downtown area, Prabhupada said, "Who knows how to get to the airport?" We all looked at each other. Not one of us had ever been to the Seattle airport. And it was late for his plane. I said, "I think it is this way." Prabhupada looked at me as sharply as a razor blade and said, "Think." Think means you do not know. Finally, there was an entrance onto the freeway, and I stopped there. Prabhupada said, "I want to take a taxi." "You do not know." He said heavier things than that, which my mind has blocked out. I stopped and said, "Srila Prabhupada, let's wait a moment. Surely we will find a way." I quickly called out the window to a hitchhiker on the side of the freeway, "Where's the airport?" And he told us how to get there. Prabhupada was angry because he not only liked to be at the airport on time, but ahead of time by at least an hour. So we got on the freeway, and this boy obviously did not know how to drive. The car was swaying and rocking back and forth like a boat in a heavy storm, and Prabhupada was looking disturbed. I was sitting in the back, and to make matters worse, every time the car swayed like that, the girls put their hands together and started chanting, "Tavakara Kamala Bare." We drove on, and by the grace of Lord Krishna, we got to the airport 1/2 hour ahead of the flight. Janava Dasi, When we got into the airport, His Divine Grace stepped through the front doors, and immediately His knee-length garland on the thin thread broke. But He simply cradled the two fallen ends in His arms and walked on with great dignity, His head held high and tilted back. Then the devotees gave me petals to throw at His feet. I thought that we would disturb the airlines by leaving petals everywhere. I threw the petals clumsily because I was distracted by my doubt, until His Divine Grace said, "That's all right. No more petals." Then when we sat waiting for His flight, I was pretty morose at His feet. He looked down and spoke that familiar blessing.
"Is everything all right?"
Prabhupada would always do that. Maybe it could be a complete anxiety because we saw Him maybe once a year, most of us, you know, and then we'd go see Him. And then you just totally, "I got to see Prabhupada," you know. And then He would just say,
"Is everything all right?"
And it was all right. Everything. Because He carried, it was like, He was a true ambassador of Krishna, because wherever He went, He carried Krishna Loka. So it was just, once you sat in that Krishna zone, you know, everything was all right. Even if you were crazy with anxiety, you know. Okay. Then the devotees gave me a particularly exquisite and fragrant red rose to give to Him. As He boarded the plane, He kept the rose and gave His garland to Upendra to distribute. Although I had only been a devotee for a month, still I too was faced with that unbearable separation from reciprocating with Him in His physical form. And this is how it was. And in Montreal, it happened again with Rukmini, you know, Anuttama's wife, my god sister Rukmini. She's saying, Swamiji, when you're not here, I feel so lonely. And that Prabhupada immediately said, "Oh, that should not be." And then he explained about Vani and Vapu, but he didn't use Vani and Vapu. He used physical and vibration. You can hear this recording. It's very touching. Rukmini, you know, she's such a great Vaishnavi, and she's just a 16-year-old girl in Montreal at the time, 1968. This is where Prabhupada was going. "Swamiji, I feel so lonely when you're not here." And then Prabhupada explains that the real association is by vibration. So you remember that Prabhupada said, remember the teachings, and then you'll always be with me.
Is that all right?
Yeah, it was very sweet. This is before, you know, Prabhupada spoon-fed us Sanskrit. He didn't give us much Sanskrit in the beginning. It was more English. Okay. So Janava is also feeling, because that's all they know, Vapu, really. You know, Prabhupada, just that person they saw, you know, the body. And the vibration, of course, the vibration embodied. That's all they knew. I too was faced with that unbearable separation from reciprocating with Him in His physical form. His Divine Grace sat by the window, and He waved the long-stemmed rose slowly, and then He ducked out of view while we were dancing and having ecstatic kirtan. Then He came back to the window and waved the rose, and then ducked out of sight again. He did so, he's peeking. He did that too in the devotees in San Francisco. This is another time. In Los Angeles, sometimes Prabhupada would want to spy on the Harinam party. You read this? And then he's driving in a car, and he'd have his assistant drive by the Harinam, and then he would get down in the car so the devotees couldn't see him, and he just spied, you know, he's spying on them. And the devotees also did that when Prabhupada first started the Haight-Ashbury Temple in San Francisco in 67. you know, they'd go to class and they'd sing and chant, and then they'd go to the donut shop. You know, they'd go to the ice cream shop. And Prabhupada, you can hear Prabhupada say, do not go donut, donut shop, something like that, you know. Devotee, do not eat donuts. In other words, material. So Prabhupada would sometimes take a walk over there, and then the devotees would get down in their seats so Swamiji couldn't see them. Okay. Then he came back to the window and waved the rose and then ducked out of sight again. He did this several times. And we responded each time with more forceful chanting and dancing. Then he left. That's why he did it, because it was increasing their love. Prabhupada's perfect. Okay. So we go see a movie now? Or what do you want to do? Yeah? Okay. So that's the end of that. I said that because it's the end of the section in Seattle. So now he's... Next time, October 27, 1968. Die. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah.